We're holding on your Dalet Amud Beis, a little bit above the middle of the Amud, one in Mechayvei. We're in the middle of discussing the question, given that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued in our Mishnah about Tzoras Erva and in many other places throughout Shas. Did Beis Shammai actually follow their opinions in practice or not? We talked about the idea of loitz goydidu, that you're not supposed to have different cliques or different factions applying halacha differently. So, okay, Rava had said it only applies when there's one based in one city where some of them passed in one way and some the other way. But still, if we say not like that, if we say like Abaya in particular, that it's even when there are two Batei Dinim in one city, then we have to figure out, given that Beis Hillel was the majority, did Beis Shammai in fact follow their opinion? And we said yesterday, in fact, the question could be, before the Baskel came out and said the halacha is like Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel is the majority, but Beis Shammai is sharper. So maybe Achru Rav Lahafis doesn't apply in that case. And after the Baskel, maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold that Baskel is dispositive for anything of that, unlike what we said the other Chachamim would say, unlike Rabbi Yeshua, would say that a Baskel at least tells you when you already know the halacha should be a certain way, for example, that it should be like the Hillel, because then the majority, then a Baskel can confirm it. Maybe the Shammai doesn't even agree with that concept. Anyway, so we're still in the middle of discussing then whether the Shammai actually followed their opinion and practice at all. So Toshma, Alpha Pishin Nechaku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel B'Tzoreis. Now, even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued about Tzoreis as in our Mishnah, and in a number of other cases involving marriage, Uva Achoyus, they also argued about a case involving sisters married to brothers, which is a case that we touched on it briefly the other day on Tetzum and Beis, but the situation is, where you have two sisters married to two brothers, and then you have other brothers as well. So if the two brothers married to the sisters die, then each of the other brothers, the Yavamas are both, they're his zikuka, they have zika to him, but they're also achos zikuka, say, because each one is the sister of the other. And Beis Hillel says that they can't do, Beis Hillel says that on a derabanan level, they can't do yibum, they have to do chalitza, whereas Beis Shammai disagrees. And would say that there's no problem of a chos chalutzase of a chos zekokase at all, and they could do yibum with them. Another case. Now that particular one is dirabanan, so it wouldn't involve kores anyway, which is what we're going to be discussing over here in the Gemara. It doesn't involve kores or even a lav, but still the Gemara is bringing it as one of the braisa is bringing it as one of the various areas in which they argued. Another one, beget yashan. Another one they argued is a case called get yashan, where a husband gives his wife a get, and then they stay overnight in a hotel the following night. So do we consider that maybe he was mekadesh or bebia again, and therefore the get is possible? So actually what we do, sorry, to get yashan, well, so that's how Rashi explains. There is the point though. The Braisa is going to mention that case of Megarshas Ishta Velona Ima Bepunda pretty soon. Two things later. So then, what is this one? But the Get Yashin is basically some case where after the Get there was Yichud again. The issue is that the Rabbanan Beis Hillel says you shouldn't use such a Get because Shemagemu Gita Kodim Livna. You might have that people are, if they do end up having relations and she becomes pregnant, then people are going to talk about them that look at that. She got divorced and only now it turns up she's pregnant. So they obviously had relations outside of marriage. So there's a machlokes about that. Or the suffic aishas ish. Another one they argue about is a suffic aishas ish, which there's two possibilities what that means. One Rashi explains that one meaning of suffic would be where, for example, when we learn in the Perek of Al Masechta that talks about the dinim of miun, then you're going to have where a girl below Bas Mitzvah was married off by her brother or her mother or whatever can be Mamayin. So Bas Shammai holds that they can only do Miyun from the Erusin, not from the Nisurin, and Bas Hillel disagrees. So that would be Rashi's first explanation, is that that's called Suffolk Eishes Ish, not in the sense that we don't know right now whether she's an Eishes Ish, but at any time she could do Miyun, so therefore it's like it's constantly a Suffolk whether her marriage is going to last. So they argue about the details of that. Rashi's second explanation is Suffolk Eishes Ish is where a Shchiv Mera, where a man who's deathly ill writes a get to his wife and says that this get should take effect as of today if I end up dying of this sickness. So what happens during the time from when he writes the get until he actually dies? So she's a Suffolk Eishes Ish, which in fact, according to Rashi, is what was the situation with Uriah and Bathsheba, where according to Rashi, Uriah wrote out a get al tnai like that, and the question is, what's her status during that time? Anyway, so Rashi says we don't actually find that Bas Shammai and Bas Hillel argue about that case. However, since they argue about the case of that we're going to discuss next, Hamagarish Ishta, the Lama Imad Bapundak, where he divorces his wife and then they stay overnight in an inn together, where there's a concern that they may have been, that if they were in Yichud, then that amounts to the same Adam who saw them in Yichud, in effect, have also seen them doing Bia, and therefore they're back to being husband and wife again. So necessarily, therefore, Rashi says they must be arguing about the case of where he divorces his wife, but Al Tnai, that should only take effect after his death. Because Rashi says it's fundamentally the same thing. So now that's what Tosfos asks, that the Gemara is now going to mention that the Braisa is going to mention that particular case, Megarish Ishta, the one Imam Bapundiki. So therefore Tosfos prefers Rashi's first explanation that it means Suffolk Eishes Ish means that they're arguing about a case of Miyun. Anyway, so they argue about that. Of Megarish Ishta, the one Imam Bapundiki. Also the case again where he gives his wife a get and then they stay overnight in an inn together. Are we concerned that they had relations again and then it would mean the get is bottle? Or do we say and therefore we wouldn't say that he did that? They argue also the kesef reshava kesef. They argue when a man is giving kedushin to a woman, how much money or how much shava kesef, how much of something that has monetary value do you need? Where the pruta of a shava pruta, where Bas Hillel says a pruta is enough, and Bas Hillel and Bas Shammai says you need a dinner. So even though you have all these cases where they argue in Hilchos Ishus. Nevertheless, Bas Shammai did not avoid marrying women from Bas Hillel. This teaches you that they had friendship and amity one between the other. They were peaceful and friendly with each other, even though they argued in halacha. This fulfills what it says in the pasuk: Emes and Shalom loved each other. So in other words, the idea is that even though they argued, they recognized that each other's opinion is part of the Emes of Torah, is part of Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, and therefore they didn't allow that to affect their friendship. So now let's consider. Now, and the Braisa finishes off. Reb Shimon Omer Nimnu Hein Min Avadai V'Lo Nimnu Min Asofet. Reb Shimon says they would avoid marrying women who there's Vadai a problem, but not the ones where there's Asofet a problem. So Rashi explains, Suffolk would mean, for example, the case of where they stayed overnight in an inn together after the get was given, where Bas Shammai, we're saying Bas Shammai would hold that there's not a problem, she doesn't need another get, whereas Bas Hillel would say that the Edim that saw them in Yichud are also in effect the same Edim that saw them having Bia, and therefore she would need a new get. So Reb Shimon is saying that they would avoid the Vadai, but not, for example, they wouldn't worry about a case of Suffolk like that, where it's only a Suffolk. The Ramban explains differently. He says Suffolk just means, for example, the Suffolk Kiddushin. Anyway, so let's analyze. E Amit Shlema Osu, if you say indeed that the Shammai did that they actually followed their piske halacha in practice, mishum hochi nimnu, that is why Reb Shimon would be saying that they have to stay away from the Vadai. Because, for example, you have, let's say, that Beis Hillel would say that it's enough. Beis Hillel would say that a pruta is enough for kedushin, so that makes her an eishes ish. In particular, then, so it means she's an eishes ish. It means she's an eishes ish. But there's also, for example, let's say now she accepts kedushin from another man. According to Beis Hillel, that kedushin is ineffective. According to Beis Shammai, that second kedushin would be effective. So if you say that Beis Shammai was actually following their opinions in practice, then that's why Reb Shimon is saying that nimnu min avadai, they would stay away from the women where they know that there's vadai a problem according to their opinion. Ela yamet loy also amay nimnu, but if anyway they're not following their opinions in halacha in practice, then why would they need to stay away from the vadai anyway? In practice, they would be following the Hillel's opinions anyway. It's only theoretically are they saying that it should be different. And in fact, Tosfos points out that since the Braisa mentioned Tzoreis first, the implication is that the main thing they're arguing about is Tzoreis. In other words, the case of Tzoras Erva of our Mishnah and our Gemara. So if you say that the Shammai never followed their opinion in practice anyway, then okay, or the other way around, if you say that they did follow their opinion in practice, then we understand. Look, the Shilul is saying that these women do not need Yibum because they're Tzoras Erva, therefore they can marry anybody. The Shammai is going to stay away from that because they don't want to be over on an Isur Lav or on what would be, according to their opinion, an Isur Lav. But if anyway Beis Shammai is not following their own opinion, then why do they have to stay away from anybody? Beis Hillel is allowing these women to marry, and Beis Shammai would also, in practice, say that they can marry. So the Gemara says, "V'tisbara, how can you think that this braisa is correct? Nihi nami de'osu, even if you say they did follow their own opinion. V'shlema Beis Hillel nimnu Beis Shammai. So you would understand, why is Beis Hillel not freely marrying women from Beis Shammai when there's a vadai, as Reb Shimon says, is the chayvik krisis nimnu mamzer lehem lo b'sivul. Because after all, Beis Shammai is going to be allowing these tzoreis to do yibum. According to Beis Hillel, what they're doing is an isur kares and their children are mamzerim. So naturally, Beis Hillel would have to stay away from marrying these women themselves or their children because the women themselves actually would be only an isur lab, but their children already would be an isur kares because their children already would be an isur kares because they were born from something that according to Beis Hillel is an error. But why would they, even if Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, why would they have to stay away from children of marriages that were done according to Beis Hillel? After all, such children, maximum then, all that's happened is the Yavama married Lashuk, the Yavama married somebody outside the family without Chalitza or Yibum, where Beis Shammai says they need Chalitza or Yibum to do that. So without that, they're over on a lab. Fine, the children are born from a lab, that doesn't make them amzeirim, they're still kosher. So even if also Beis Shammai would have no particular reason to avoid the vadai, and Rav Shimon is saying that they did. So evidently it seems there's a mistake in the braisa. The Gemara says no, there is a reason, even if they are chai v'lavin, because like Rav Nachman Yitzchok says later in the sugya, that the chiddush is even as far as the tzara herself. That when we say nimnoim, that Shimon says that they would stay away from the vadai, means the tzara herself, if she wants to marry somebody from Beis Shammai, then if we say Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, they would not want to marry her because they don't want to be over on a lot. So hochanami lenitzuchah lo tzara atzma, that's what it means. It's not that Beis Shammai would stay away, according to Reb Shimon, who's saying nimnoim in a vadai, doesn't mean that they would avoid marrying children of such marriages, where the Yavama went and married somebody from outside the family without chalitza or yibum. Because fine, such children, they're only also on it. Their parentage is from Isur Lav, and fine, that doesn't make them amzeirim, they're still trading. But the Sara herself, the Beis Shammai, would not want to marry her because they'd say, if we do, we're over on an Isur Lav, according to our opinion, because we hold she needs yibum or chalitza. Okay, so then the question is, okay, well, in that case, then, if you're understanding vadai and suffix referring to the tzara herself, well, then, why is it they'd stay away from marrying one who was a vadai tzara, where, after all, there's an isur, fine, it's not an isur kares, but it's still a lav. Or no, actually, this is really, Tosfos says, this next point that the Gemara is going to make is not directly a continuation of the previous discussion. Fine, we've established that that's what it means. In other words, they wouldn't want to marry the Tsara herself. But now in general, now we're going back to the Braisa. Why would the Braisa be saying that there would be a difference in that regard between Vade and Tsofik? Why would they avoid marrying the Vadei? Because they don't want to be over on an Issur, even if it's only an Issur lab, Safik Nami Issurahu. No, and if there's a Safik, then you have the same problem. You also have a Safik Issur, and a Safik Issur Jardais after all. Or not even in the case of the Yavama, in the case of some of the other cases that we mentioned before, which are, for example, Pruta and Shava Pruta versus Dinner and Shava Dinner. So if it's a Safik, whether she was Miskadish with a Pruta or with a Dinner, and then, or let's say she did, and then she accepted Kedushin from somebody else, and there's a Safik whether those Kedushin are valid or not, you have the same problem, then it's still a Safik issue. Why would the Shammai be allowing themselves to marry, if we say that Osu, why would they be allowing themselves to marry a Safik more than a Vadai? And the answer is, Lo Tema Min HaSafik, Ela Ema Min HaStam. You have to actually correct it. The word is not that they would avoid Min HaSafik, but rather, yeah, the wording in the Braisa is supposed to be that they would avoid the Stam. So Min HaSafik would mean here. Rashi says, for example, Min HaSafik would mean, for example, the cases that we mentioned before that are only because of Safik. For example, where he gave her a get and then they stayed overnight in an inn, and it's a Safik whether they had relations or not, which would then invalidate the get. So after all, there's a Safik whether she's an Aishas ish or not. So the answer is, we're saying not Safik, but rather the word is supposed to be Stam. When this Shammai or this, when the other group would not tell them anything, then they could assume by default that this woman is kosher, according to their opinion as well, with no problem, and they could marry her. So that's what Shimon is saying. They would stay away from the Stam. And so Rav Shimon is saying that they would stay away from the Vadai, meaning if they took Vadai now would mean, not like we thought before, Vadai means if they know for sure that she's Osir, and Safik would mean if we're not sure whether she's Osir. Rather, now we're saying that Vadai would mean when they inform them. For example, they inform them, you should know that this child, according to your opinion and halacha, is a mamzer. And Stam, rather than Safik, would mean when they didn't tell them where the point was. If they didn't tell them, then they know there's nothing to worry about, because if there was anything wrong, they would have told them. So Demodi Lahu Parshi, because that's what they would do. They would inform them so that they would stay away. If this Shammai is going to marry if this Hillel, rather, is going to marry a girl from Beis Shammai, and the situation was that her mother had been a Yavama who did Yibum, which is according to Beis Shammai, whereas according to Beis Hillel, she was also to do Yibum, because of Tzaras Erva, then Beis Shammai would inform Beis Hillel, you should know that according to your opinion in Halacha, this girl is a mamzer, so don't have your son marry her, or vice versa. This boy is a mamzer, so don't have your daughter marry her. But if they didn't inform them, then there would be nothing, then they'd know there's nothing to worry about. Which the Ritva points out, by the way, it's not as though they were required by Halacha to do that, because after all, you're not allowed to give somebody a thing of Isser, but if they're taking it by themselves, and you in fact hold that such a thing is mutter, you're not obligated, la halacha, to inform them. But nevertheless, as we're saying, and therefore they would do that, they would go lefnim mishur sadin. So that's what Gemara says, or my kamash malon, the Abba Vareus Nergim Zebazeh. So is that what the Braisa is telling us? That the point is that they had this Abba Vareus and they went beyond what was required of the Alocha and would inform them even though they didn't have to. Hainu Reisha. Isn't that saying the same thing as the Reisha? Which is that nevertheless, Chibu Vareus Nergim Zebazeh. So if we say that the Braisa is saying Vadai versus Safik, then Rav Shimon is saying something different than the Tanakama. He's saying it's not necessarily a matter of chibur v'reus. They would be careful when they know for a fact that there's an issue according to their opinion in halacha, but they wouldn't worry about when there's only a suffix. But now we're saying vadeh and stam, in Rav Shimon's opinion, means vadeh when they inform them, and suffix when they, and suffix, or not suffix, we change it to stam. Stam is when they don't inform them, and the point is then they know they don't have to worry, because av v'reus, negiz dem zeh, hain v'reisha, then that's just repeating what it says in v'reisha. And the answer is, hokamash v'lon to kula Rav Shimon. The Braisa wants you to know that the whole thing is a statement of Rav Shimon. The whole, it's not that you have the Tanakama and then Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is the author of this entire Braisa, and he's explaining that in all these cases of Tzoris and Achoyas and so on and so forth, Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel would go the extra mile, and even though they're not required to Api Halacha, they would inform the other party of the facts, and therefore, and then say, well, now it's now according to your opinion in Halacha, that creates a problem over here, so therefore I'm laying all the facts out for you, so therefore you can make your own decision. And then, on the other hand, if they don't, then they knew, they could trust that there's no problem, because otherwise they would have told them. So we can't prove one way or the other from this whole discussion whether in fact the Shammai held according to their opinion in practice, because we're saying that each group always made sure to inform the other. So what happened then we don't necessarily know. Okay. So Toshma, let's try to prove from another thing. A Braisa says the Amar of Yechonan Nuri, Heyach Halacha Zu Revachas V'Yisrael. How should we make this halacha acceptable according to all Jews? Nasekidu, this question of Tzoras Erva. Nasekidivi b'shamai. Should we follow b'shamai and say that they always need yibum? Havlad mamzer b'divi b'shilol. Well, the problem is, according to b'shilol, any children born from that will be mamzerim. And we don't want that. Nasekidivi b'shilol. Should we do like b'shilol and say that they're potter from chalitza and from yibum? Havlad pogam b'divi b'shamai. Fine, according to Bes Shammai, the children are not going to be mamzerim. They're not going to be posel love of a kohol because it was only an issu lav. However, they are going to be pogum. There is going to be a defect in them. Namely, Rashi says that if the father and therefore the child was a kohen, then the child would actually be posel the kohona. He would be considered a cholo. Further on in the sugya on Pesvav Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss why that should be so. So therefore, Rav Yechonan Nuri is saying, one way or the other, if you try to establish the halacha like either Bes Shammai or like Bes Hillel, you're going to have a problem. Boyo unasakin lahem matzores. Therefore, Rav Yechonan Nuri proposes, let's make a takona on behalf of these tzores. Shiuchotzes for mesiabmes, that they should always do chalitza and not do yibum, and that way we're covered on all bases. That way, if they needed chalitza, then chalitza is taken care of. Now they can marry anybody they want. And if they didn't need chalitza, fine. So the chalitza didn't accomplish anything, but still, then they're still allowed, according to the silo, to marry anybody they want. So that way we'll cover all our bases. And the Braisa continues, Lo yispiku ligmaris adover. They did not have a chance to finish off the matter and decide whether to do this takana. Ad shenitrfasha, before the time became confused, meaning that something went wrong and the Chachamim were not able to assemble together in order to decide on this. One possibility of the nitrfasha, Doris Rishonim explained that it may have been that the Romans started persecuting them. He explained that all of this happened after the Chachamim had been in Yavne and in the Yeshiva in Yavne for quite a few years, and after the whole story of Boi Bayoim, when Rabbi Gamliel was deposed and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed instead, and then eventually Rabbi Gamliel was reinstated. So he says that eventually the Romans got wind of what's going on and they started persecuting the Chachamim and forcing them to leave Yavne, and that was this Nitzufar Shah. They never had a chance to assemble in order to discuss the pros and cons of this and make the sakana or not make it. And the Gemara and the Braisa continues. Omalei Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says to Rav Yechonan Nuri, I don't like your idea because man nasa lahem l'tzores harishonis ma'ata. According to your proposal, what would we do with the original tzores? If you have tzores who followed Bes Shammai and did yibum, if you're going to say that we should make a takana that they shouldn't do yibum, they should do chalitza, then it comes out retroactively, you're making what they did an isur kares, and you're making their children mamzerim. So therefore, so it's not such a good idea. Now let's analyze. E amit b'shleima osu. If you say that the Shammai followed their opinion in practice, then it means you have such cases of women who did yibum according to Bes Shammai. And now Rabbi Yechonan Nuri and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are concerned what to do about them. Eli amit z'hainu tekama loynas manasa. That's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, according to your proposal, that you're going to say yibum should be also in such cases. And only chalitza can be done. Then you're making the children mamzerim. Ela i'amit loy also. But if you say Bes Shammai never followed their opinion in practice anyway, then there's actually no such case of a woman who did yibum in such a case. My manasseh. So what is Rav Shimon Gamliel concerned about?
Why are you saying the children, if you do chalitza, the children are mamzerim?
If you do chalitza, if you say that from that, if you say that you can't do yibum, then it means anybody who did yibum was doing an isur erva. You're saying they're only doing chalitza to be on the safe side in case she does need chalitza. But you're saying primarily the halacha is according to Beis Hillel with Rav Yechim and Nuri's Takana. You're saying primarily the halacha is like Beis Hillel that you can't do yibum because it would be an erva. Well, then in effect, you're saying that anybody who did yibum up until now has children who are mamzerim, and you don't want to do that. So, but again, if you say that the Shammai never followed their own opinion in practice, then what's the problem? And the answer is, Amar of Nachman Yitzchok, Lan Yitzchok Ha'elu L'Tzara Asma. Yes, but what we're talking about is the Tzara herself. In other words, the problem is not only about the Tzara's Erva, the problem is not only about the Tzara's Erva and her children, the problem is that this Hillel is saying that these women, because the Tzara can marry anybody they want. And now, fine, the children, even according to Beis Shammai, will be kosher. We said the only problem. However, the problem is that the problem is, are you allowed to, is the Tzara herself allowed to get married, or is she Oiran and Isra Lav? So Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that you're gonna make it that if you say that you have to do Chalitza or not Yibum, and not Yibum, then what you're saying, Fakir, you're saying that Beis Shammai has a certain valid point, she would have needed Yibum, instead she went and married somebody else without that, it means that now you're saying that she was Oiran and Isra Lav. Manasa Hochikama. When he says Manasa, he means like this. Hanach Tzores to Beis Hillel, the women who are going to Beis Hillel, because they're Tzores, are potter from Yibum, Lebes Shammai Hechi Nevet Lahu, according to your proposal, what should we do to make everything, to fix up everything according to Beis Shammai? Lichaltu, should we say that they should do chalitza now? And okay, what's done is done, but at least if for the future there'll be chalutzas and they won't be over on the Isra Lav from now on. Or maybe it can even mean they haven't yet gotten married. It could mean they haven't yet gotten married, but we're going to say before they get married, let them do chalitza to be on the safe side, which will cover them according to Beis Shammai. The problem is Masya Gabraihu. The problem is they're going to become repulsive to their husbands. Because the husband doesn't particularly like that his wife is just having to do chalitza. If she has to do chalitza, if she's required al pitora to do chalitza, then fine, he'll live with it. But like this, where she's doing chalitza, which in a way that according to him seems unnecessary, then she's going to be less attractive to him. So he might say, big deal, or what do we care about that? We know that the Torah's ways are ways of pleasantness and all its paths are peace. We don't want that there should be a case that we're going to have to make her do chalitza where it might be for no reason. And then she's going to be less attractive in her husband's eyes. So we don't want that. It's one thing now. We're going to talk about throughout the Masechta, we're going to have cases where a woman has to do chalitza because of a suffix. But there it's a suffix about the actual circumstances. Here we're talking about a suffix who the halacha is like. Well, Beis Hillel is very likely to say, look, we know the halacha is she doesn't even require chalitza, so she's tzaras erva. So therefore, so what is she doing chalitza? Then he finds that something unappealing to him. So therefore, you could say, even if Beis Shammai never followed their opinion in practice, but just the fact that now we're going to say that from now on, we're up until now, they wouldn't even have to do chalitza, and from now on, according to Rabbi Yechim and Nuri's Takana, they're going to have to do chalitza, and Beis Hillel is going to say, look, we never required that until now. According to our opinion, she doesn't need chalitza at all. So now he's going to feel less attracted to his wife, knowing that she went through chalitza. So we can't prove one way or the other from that whether Beis Shammai followed their opinion or not. Okay, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The Omer of Tarfin, Te'evani, Reb Tarfin says, I am eager, Mosai Tovet, Tzoras Abbas V'yodi, when will I have a situation of Tzoras Abbas V'esa'ena, and I will marry her. Now Rashi explains, first of all, Rashi explains that Reb Tarfin was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. So therefore, we're assuming that he wants to follow Beis Shammai's opinion. So he's saying, halavai, that I would have a situation of Tzoras Abbas where I have a brother who's married to a daughter of mine and he's also married to another wife. Halavai, that there should be a situation of Tzoras Abbas and I will marry her, which seems to show that he wants to act according to Beis Shammai, showing that Beis Shammai actually followed their opinion in practice. And the answer is Ema v'asi ena. Okay, now the wording is a little bit off. He didn't say the Esa ena, I want to marry her, which would be according to Beis Shammai, but rather v'asi ena, I want to marry her off to somebody else, which would be like this Hillel. So that may show just the opposite, that even though he's a Talmud of Beis Shammai, he's still in practice following this Hillel. So the Gemara says, v'hote evani kama. What do you mean? He's saying, I wish I had the opportunity to do that. If all of Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel in practice anyway, then there's no chiddush in him saying that he wants to do that, because all of Beis Shammai would do that in practice. And the answer is La Pukim, and Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, that would be, he's just saying that to say against Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, where Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is proposing that they should do chalitza, and Rabbi Tarfon says, I'll have none of that, even at the Talmud of Beis Shammai, in practice, I follow Beis Hillel, and I would say she'd be allowed to marry even without chalitza. So there's no proof from that one way or the other. Maybe he means that I want to marry her myself. Maybe he means I want to marry her off to others. So you don't have a proof one way or the other. Tosfos Yeshanim actually discusses that in that case, then really what's the chiddush? Then really what's the chiddush? If he wants to say that he's going to follow like Beis Hillel, if he's going to follow Beis Hillel, of course we're saying the halacha eventually was decided like Beis Hillel, and we're discussing that maybe even before that the Shammai would follow Beis Hillel. So what exactly would be the chiddush and what Reb Tarfon is saying? So actually Tosfos Yeshanim has the gears to the other way around. He says va'asi ena, and rather the Gemara changes it to the esa ena, and then when he says te'ivani, on the contrary, so why is he so eager to do that? What the word te'ivani implies, I'm not able to do that, but I wish I was able to do that. Well, why? He wants to follow his Rebbe. And the answer is because he's saying not like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. The Tosfos Rosh points out another point in this as well. I mean, is Reb Tarfon saying he wants his brother to die in order to have a chance to do Yibum with his Tzara, or to have his Tzara married off to somebody else? That doesn't seem a right thing to ask for that. So rather, he says, the Tosfos HaRosh says, he doesn't mean his own brother. He means, halavai, there would be a case someplace out in the rest of the world of Tzara Sabas, and I would have a chance to marry her myself, demonstrating that therefore I actually hold like this Shammai in practice. And the Gemara is saying not necessarily, he may mean va'asiyana, that I want to marry her off to somebody else, showing that in practice we follow Beis Hillel. But he's not talking about necessarily, unlike Rashi, he's not necessarily talking about his own brother, he's talking about a Tzoras Abbas from somebody else. On the other hand, the Oruch Haner says, look, I mean, you know, when you get down to it, if Reb Tarfon has a brother, eventually one of them is going to have to pass away first of necessity. Either Reb Tarfon dies first or his brother dies first. So therefore, Reb Tarfon may well be saying, says the Oruch Haner, look, if one of us eventually has to go before the other, at least halavai, it should be in that way where I have the chance to demonstrate to everybody what the halacha is. Okay, so again, no proof one way or the other from that. Toshma, another proof. It happened with the daughter of Rav Gamliel. She was married to Rav Gamliel's brother Abba. Abba passed away without children. The Yibim, Rav Gamliel, Tzarasa, and Rav Gamliel actually did Yibim with her Tzara. Now, this is a case of Tzaras Era, because it was his daughter that was married to his brother. So you see that you actually follow Beis Shammai in practice. How could you think that that's what it means? Is Rav Gamliel one of the Talmidim of Beis Shammai? He's a grandson of Hillel. He belongs to Beis Hillel. So anyway, then, either way, he's not following Beis Shammai's opinion. Ella, so it has to be, there was a special case over here, shiny bitters, Rav Gamliel da'ilonis haboy. Rav Gamliel's daughter, the situation was an ilonis, and we already learned in the first Mishnah of Ar Masechta that if the erva turns out to be an ilonis, then we say she's out of the picture, because an ilonis is not subject to yibum or chalitza, and therefore her tzara is not considered the tzara of an erva. So even though she was the tzara of Rav Gamliel's daughter, we don't consider the daughter to be in the picture at all, because she was an ilonis. Therefore the tzara is a regular case of yibum, and so Rav Gamliel did yibum with her. The Braita continues that Acherim say that the situation was that this daughter was an Ilonis. We call the Tanakama Sava Lav Ilonis Soisa, implying that the Tanakama holds that she was not. So how do you understand it then? Wouldn't that mean that Rav Gamliel is following Beis Shammai, which, okay, it would mean that Beis Shammai is following their own opinion in practice, but what's Rav Gamliel doing following Beis Shammai? And the answer is hikuba, but hikuba, it could be nice. The answer is that there'd be the argument between the Tanakama and Achirim is not over the fact of whether she was an Ilonis or not. They both agree she was an Ilonis, but did her husband recognize that she was an Ilonis before he married her? We talked about that idea the other day on Dr. Bayes, that if he didn't know at the time he married her that she was an Ilonis, then it's a Mechachtos, then the marriage never took effect, as opposed to if he knew already when he married her that she's an Ilonis, then that would be different. Then it would be considered a valid marriage, and her tzara is the tzara of an erva. So therefore, so the Tanakama would be saying, that only if loy hikirba, only if when this brother Abba married Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, he did not know that she's an Ilonis, then it's a mekachtos, so therefore Rabbi Gamliel can do yibum with her tzara, but had he been hikirba, then tzara would in fact be osur. The Acherim say it doesn't matter, either way, either the Acherim use the expression, bitash Rabbi Gamliel, Ilonis hoisa, and we said the other day in the Gemara that the word hoisa implies that all along she was known to be an Ilonis, and nevertheless he married her, so according to Acherim, that still, the Ilonis is still out of the picture as far as Yibum and Chalitza, and therefore her tzara is not a tzara's erva, but rather a regular case of Yibum, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel did Yibum. So no proof from that, one way or the other. The Iborisim, a konat solo seif gerash, ikabinayu. Another possibility is, what happens if the brother, married this other woman, and then he divorced the Ilonis? Or not even, we don't have to say that she was an Ilonis. We could say that she was a regular woman. The Tanakama would say that, Acherim say that she was an Ilonis, but we could say as follows, that the Tanakama would say that this brother Abba had divorced Rabbi Gamliel's daughter sometime before he died, so therefore, even though at some point this tzara was the tzara of an erva, it wouldn't matter because by the time he died, he had already divorced the erva. Whereas Acherim would say that, no, it doesn't work that way. Even if he divorced her beforehand, the very fact that at some point they were tzoras would make her osir, and therefore it requires us to say Acherim, that the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel was an Ilonis, otherwise the tzora would in fact be osir according to this hearing. The Iborisemi, yesh tnai bebiya, ikibinayu, a third possibility is they're arguing over the question of whether it's possible for there to be a tnai in the bia. Namely, you can have a man marries a woman, al tnai that she doesn't have certain physical defects or that she doesn't have outstanding nidorim, and then it turns out that she does. The Tanakama would say that, well, it's a mekachtos. If it turns out afterwards that she has mumin or she has a nidorim, then it's a mekachtos and the marriage never takes effect. So therefore, the situation was, this Abba, the brother of Rav Gamliel, had made such a tnai. It turned out that the tnai wasn't true. Therefore, the daughter of Rav Gamliel is not considered his wife, and therefore the tzara is not the tzara of an era. Whereas Acherim would say that no, you can't make a tnai when it comes to bia, because we assume that once he does bia with her, we assume that he's mevatel his tnai. He's saying, even though to begin with, when I did kedushin with her, I intended to only if she doesn't have mumin or nedarim. But by now that I'm coming to the point of bia, I don't care one way or the other. Look, einodim osa bilasa bilas snus. He doesn't want to have relations with her with snus. He would rather do it in a kosher way. So therefore, he's implicitly mevatel tnai, and therefore it would be a fully valid marriage. And therefore, the only way to say that not would be if she was an ilonis, and then we would say that an ilonis is out of the picture as far as chalitza and yibum. So for all those possibilities, it's not necessarily that Rabbi Gamliel is following this Shammai's opinion in practice. And anyway, Rabbi Gamliel, being from the family of Hillel, wouldn't be expected to follow this Shammai in practice, but rather was saying that because of one or another of these circumstances, it was a special case, and therefore, even according to this Hillel, what he did would have been fine. By the way, there is a Mishnah in Beitza that says that Rabbi Gamliel was machmir in a few things like the Shammai. However, over here, it's not a matter of chumrah because you can't be machmir in something that, according to Beis Hillel, would be also daraisa. And therefore, we have to say that even according to Beis Hillel, what he did was valid. Okay. Most of the Masharshia. So the Masharshia says, I have another example. Where we see on the face of it that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion in practical halacha. Maisa b'Rabbi Akiva, shalikit esrog b'echa b'shvat. Rabbi Akiva one time picked an esrog on Aleph Shvat. And now Beis Shammai holds that Aleph Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Leilonis, and Beis Hillel holds Tetzvav B'Shvat. Now this Rosh Chodesh Shvat was at the end of the second year of the Shemitah cycle, going into the third year. So as Esrogim, unlike most other fruits, Esrogim, like we learned about this in Rosh Hashanah extensively, Esrogim, like vegetables, go according to when they're picked. The time when they're picked determines what year they belong to as far as Meiser, whether you give Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani. In this case, he picked it on Aleph Shvat. It was the second year going into the third year. And the Nog boy Beis Yisurin. And he did two Meisers from that Esrog. Echad Kediva Bishrama, the Echad Kediva Bishil. One according to Bishrama, because according to Bishrama, it's already the new year for trees. So therefore, it's already the third year, and he has to give Maisa on it. And another one according to Bishil, that he gave Maisa Sheni, because according to Bishil, it's still 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah Leila. Now, how did he actually do it? Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi. To be exact, what he did is he separated Maisa Sheni, then he redeemed the Maisa Sheni so that it could be eaten anywhere. He gave that Maisa Sheni to the poor people as Maisa Ani, and he took the money and brought it to Yerushalayim and bought food with it. So Shmamina Asu. So that goes to show that the Shammai obviously followed their opinion and practiced in Halacha, and therefore Rabbi Akiva is doing that as well. The answer is no. The situation there was Rabbi Akiva Gemara istapikle. Rabbi Akiva had a suffix in what he had learned. He didn't know whether Beshilo were the ones who said Aleph Shvat or whether Beshamai were. So therefore, to be on the safe side, he had to do two Yisurin. But not because he was intending to follow Beshamai at all, but because he wasn't sure what Beshilo had said. In fact, in a different Gemara, the Gemara says that after all, Tosfos brings over here that, you're not allowed to follow the Chumris of Beshamai. And of the civil, where they contradict each other. So here, the answer would be the same thing, that it's not that he's trying to follow the humorous of both the civil and the Shammai, it's just he wasn't sure what the civil's opinion was. So you can't prove one way or the other from that. Okay, Mosif Mazutra. Mazutra says here, I have a contradiction on the opinion that says that the Shammai didn't follow their own opinion in practice. The Mishnah says in Sukkah, Maisa v'yolda kalosesh or Shammai Azakin, one time Shammai Azakin's daughter gave birth during Sukkot, upichas hasamaziva, and Shammai held that they have to be under a Sukkah, so he broke open the plaster on the ceiling, v'sikha chagabi mita, and he put tzchach on the ceiling above the bed, v'shvil katan, because of the child, because Shammai held that even a child who's still of the age when he needs his mother, as in this case, the child was just newly born, nevertheless, Shammai holds his chayv in sukkah, and you see, he actually broke open the roof and put tzchach over there. So that means that Beis Shammai actually followed the Shmamina also. That shows that he actually followed his opinion in practice. By the way, the Maharshal has a different explanation. He says, come on, I mean, even Shammai can't say that a newborn baby should be chayiv in sukkah. He's not even of the age of chinuch yet. So rather, the Maharshal says what it means is, besides for this newborn baby, Shammai's daughter-in-law had another child and another son who's a few years older, but still tzorech le'ima. So he's maybe 3-4 years old, and he's still tzorech le'ima. He's still around his mother constantly, and Shammai held a child of that age is chayiv in sukkah. So therefore, he broke open the plaster, etc., for him. In any case, the point is that we see that Shammai followed his opinion in practice, and then Shammai is part of Beis Shammai. The answer is that's not a proof, because Hosam HaRoya Omer La'apushi Avirka Ovid. If people see Shammai doing that, it doesn't necessarily demonstrate that he's doing it because of the mitzvah of sukkah. He may be doing it in order to get more fresh air in, so there, and you could use that sort of as an excuse, so it still doesn't look like loitis goyidu. The whole problem why we're saying why Beis Shammai might not be following their opinion in practice is because of loitis goyidu. But when there's a reasonable possibility that he's doing it for some other reason, then that's not an issue. And in this case, it's a reasonable possibility that he's doing it because he wants more fresh air in the room. Okay, Masiv Mazutra. So Mazutra says here, I have a contradiction where to those who say that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion, Masiv Shoykes Yehu Shahusav Yerushalayim, it happened with the trough of Yehu that was located in Yerushalayim. So a trough is, Rashi described, Eben Chalula is a hollow stone. So it's a hollowed out stone, Shetachas Tzinoham Kaleach Mayim Minahar, that's under a pipe that brings down water from the mountains. And then, and it was called the Trough of Yehu, because maybe, I guess, the guy who built it was named Yehu. Anyway, the point is, so this trough has water coming into it from the mountains, which would, and it's coming through a pipe. It would be a kosher mikveh, except for the fact that it's not large enough. The host in the kuva la mikveh, there was a hole between this trough and a mikveh that was next to it, a mikveh of 40 sa. So there was a hole between them. So that way, the water blends together, and that we learned about this in Chagiga, and that way it's considered, the whole thing is considered one big mikveh, and therefore you could tovel in the shoykes. V'chol taras shoy v'yushalayim nasim agava. All of the taras that were done in Yerushalayim were all done based on this. People would go and tovel their kalim in this trough of Yehu, and because it's connected to the mikveh next to it by a hole of a certain minimum size, shreferes hanoid, as we're going to talk about in a second, then it was kosher, and nobody had a problem with it. But the shocho b'shamay v'hechivua. But b'shamay sent messengers who made the hole bigger. They said it's not enough for it to be shreferes hanoid. It has to be bigger than that for it to be considered one big thing. Because in fact, b'shamay holds that that kind of thing only works only if the hole is the majority of the width of the shrikas. Utznan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah, also in Mikvois. We learned this in Chagiga as well. Eruv Mikvois kishreferes anoid, to blend together two Mikvois, to have like this, that the water inside the shrikas should be considered part of the mikveh. You need a hole between them. This is the point of a civil. Kishreferes anoid, the size of the tube that you put into a, that you put into a skin bag. So you'd have a skin bag that you use for wine or water or what have you. And you put into the opening of it, you put a reed, or you put a hollow piece of bamboo or something to be able to drink and be able to pour out of. So there's a certain size, there's a certain standard size that these tubes would be. So that would be the size that you need to mix two mikvahs together, including the thickness of it, including the thickness of the walls of the tube, is the size we're talking about. And the inside of the hole has to be, the amount of space where you could put in two fingers and move them around and turn them around freely without getting stuck. So that would be, it's two fingers, it's the index finger and the middle finger. If you put them into the hole and you can rotate them freely, then it's big enough, then that's Shreferes Hanoid. Now that's going to Basil. Beshama was saying needs more, and was saying that Beshama was not satisfied with it being open only because Shreferes Hanoid. They made it bigger. So we see that Beshama actually followed their opinion in practice. So Shmamina also, wouldn't that show that they actually followed their opinion in practice? And again, the Gemara says, "Hosam haroya omer la'pushi mayahu dekavid." Again, it's not necessarily that people see that being done. They're going to say, "Look at that! Bais Shammai is following their own opinion against Bais Hillel." It means people are saying, "You know what? Bais Shammai decided that we don't have enough water. We don't have enough water in the trough. We need more. Therefore, we need the hole bigger so that more water from the mikveh will go into it." To no proof one way or the other, it doesn't look like two turtles. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The Amr of Allah the Bertzadik, Shayisi Loimed Torah Eter of Yechan and Hachirani, when I was learning Torah by Rab Yechan and Hachirani, whereas we're going to say soon he was a Talmud of the Shammai, Ra'isi Shaya Eucha Pascha Reva Vamelach Vishne Batsoras. I saw that during a year of famine, he's eating dry bread with salt. Poor guy, doesn't have anything better to eat. Bossi Vahidaitias Abba. So Rab Allah the Bertzadik says, I went and informed my father, Rab Tzadik, we've got to do something for him. Amali Hoylach Loi Zaysim. So he tells me, bring him some olives, so he can at least have something else to eat. The Rabbi Lazar of Tzadik says, I brought him olives. Ra Oysen Shein Lachin, he saw that the olives I brought him were wet, and he was concerned, so now they're Mukhshal Kabal Tumma. Now, the situation was that Rabbi Lazar of Tzadik had brought them to him in a Kli Cheres, where there was a concern that an Ama Oret might have touched the outside of the barrel and made it Tumim Drabanan. Actually, when Rashi says the outside of the barrel, Mephoshim asks, an Ama Oret is not necessarily able to make an earthenware barrel tome from the outside. Okay, so one answer is maybe Midrabanan they could. Anyway, Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says that actually Rabbi Yochanan knew that Rabbi Tzadik had bought this barrel from an Ama Oret, and we learned in Chagiga that a keli that an Ama Oret makes is considered tome. Only during the Yom Tovim do we temporarily consider it Tahor, and this wasn't. So according to Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan HaKharoni is concerned that the olives might be tame, and according to Tosfos, he's concerned the olives are definitely tame. Amali ein ani oichel zeitzim. So he says, I don't eat olives as an excuse because he doesn't want to eat them and have a problem with tumah v'tahara. Bosi v'jaiti es abba. So again, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik says, I went and informed my father. You wanted me to give him olives, and now we have a problem. Amali tells me, leich ve'emurloi. I know what's going on over here. He's concerned that they're mukshal kabel tumah. Leich ve'emurloi. Go and tell him, chobes nikuba hoisa. What happened was the barrel in which the olives were kept had a hole at the bottom, so that any of the juice that flows out of the olive will flow out, will drain out. And the reason why you find the olives wet now, elish just a smooth shmorin. What happened was that the hole accidentally got plugged up with dregs of the olives. So that's why the olives are wet, because accidentally the juice stayed inside, but not because we intended to. Namely, Utnan, and we learn in a Mishnah in that connection. Chobes shel zeisim gugolim. If you have a barrel of olives that are gugolim, gugolim Rashi explains means they're pressed tightly together in the barrel, and they're ready to be pressed into olive oil. So now, is there a problem of, while they're stuffed into the barrel over there, juice tends to flow out of them? So is that juice masha the makabal choma? We know that there are shiva mashim that are masha the kabal choma, and one of them is oil, but over here, it's not necessarily oil, it's a sap that comes out of the olives. And more to the point, the question is, does he want that juice to remain inside? And if he doesn't, the halacha is that for fruit to be mukshal the kabal choma, it has to be that you wanted it to get wet. So therefore, if he doesn't want it to get wet, nothing happens. So Beshama says you don't have to make a hole because the juice that's coming out of the olives is not considered olive oil. It's considered may pavis, and it's not mashal kabal choma anyway. Or Beshilo Emin Tzrichel Anakiv. Beshilo says you do have to make a hole because otherwise it is considered like oil. Umoidim, but they both agree sheim nikva. That if you did make a hole, it's a small shmarim, and then the hole was plugged up with dregs, so therefore the liquid ended up staying inside, shehi tahora, that the olives remain tahor, because even according to Beis Hillel, the fact that you made a hole demonstrated that you didn't want the liquid to stay inside, and therefore it's not mashal, even if we consider it like oil, it's not mashal kabal tumah, unless you wanted it to get wet. Tosfos actually points out there are several different kinds of sap that are relevant over here. There's one kind that everybody agrees is not mashal kabal tumah. Another kind which we're talking about over here, another kind which is when they're stuck tightly together and then juice flows out. There you have a different machlokes tanoim, whether it's mashal kabal tumah or not. Here we're talking about that it's similar to what comes out from actually pressing the olives in the olive press, where Beis Hillel is going to say that it's machshel kabel tumah. Anyway, but if you made a hole, you demonstrated you don't want the juice to stay in there. So even Beis Hillel agrees it's not machshel kabel tumah. So Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzaddik tells his son Rabbi Elazar, go tell Rabbi Yochanan HaKharoni that here there's no problem. The olives are wet, but it was wet by accident. Therefore, they're not machshel kabel tumah. And the Braisa finishes off, Va'afa picha Talmud Shammai Hoya, even though this Rabbi Yochanan HaKharoni was a Talmud of Shammai, Kol Maisav, like also Elikadivi Beis Hillel, everything that he followed in Halacha was according to Beis Hillel. Now, and therefore, that's why he was concerned about these olives, that according to Beis Hillel's opinion, they would be Mukshal the Kabal Tumah, and that's why Rabbi Tzaddik had to reassure him that they're not. So, E Amit Bishlema also, if you say that normally Beis Shammai followed their opinion in Halacha, Hainu Rabuse, then we're saying that's the Chiddush. Rabbi Yochanan HaKharoni did not act like the rest of Beis Shammai, he in practice followed Beis Hillel. Eli Amit Loy also, but if you say that anyway, the rest of Beis Shammai did not follow their opinion in practice, my Rabuse, then what's the Chiddush that Rabbi Yochanan HaKharoni always followed Beis Hillel? All of Beis Shammai always followed Beis Hillel. So that would be a proof that in fact Beis Shammai did follow their opinion as practical halacha. And the Gemara brings another, the Gemara starts bringing another proof. Toshma, Shalos Rabbi Yeshua, Tzoras Habas Mahu. They ask Rabbi Yeshua, what's the din in this case of Tzoras Habas, or Tzoras Erva in general? Does she have to do Yibum or Chalitza like the Shammai, or is she potter from it like the Zillel? Amalahem. So he says, what are you asking me? Machalikas Hashem Abasilo. You know that it's a machalikas. So they asked him, Vahalocha Kedibri Mi. So who's the halocha actually like? Amalahem. He says to them, Mipne Ma'at Machnisin Roshi Ben Shnei Horem Gdolim. Why are you trying to stick my head in between two big mountains, Ben Shnei Machalikas Dolis, between the, to take a side in a big machalikas, Ben Vesham Abasilo? What are you asking me to take aside? Misyarani Shama Yerutsu Gugolti. I am afraid that they might crush my skull. In other words, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he's concerned if he paskins one way or the other, then the other group is going to get him in trouble because they're going to say, you're passeling our women and you're passeling our children. And he continues, the Braisa continues, Avalani, but Rabbi Yeshua says, I can't tell you who the halacha is like. However, I can tell you, Avalani made lachem. However, I can give you edus. Al shtei mishpachas gedolos shahayu b'Yerushalayim, that there were two great families in Yerushalayim, mishpachas beis tzvoyim miben achmoy, or mishpachas beis kofoy miben mekoshesh. So these are the names of the families, and these are the names of the places where they were from. Shehem b'nei tzores, their ancestry included women who had been tzores and married without yibum and without chalitza, so like this hero. Umehem Koinim Golem, and from those families came Koinim Golem, the Shimshur Agabi Amizbeach, who actually served on the Mizbeach. So therefore, in other words, Rabbi Yeshua is telling them, I'm not going to tell you the halacha is like Beis Hillel, but you should know that in practice, people followed Beis Hillel, and they said that these women and their children are kosher, and they can even serve as Koinim. So, let's figure out. Iyamet b'shleima osu. If you say that the Shammai followed their opinion in practice, then hainu da'akam, misyara ani. Then you understand why Rabbi Yeshua is saying, I'm afraid to pask in halacha about it in practice, because women who followed the Shammai and actually did yibum are going to be saying, Rabbi Yeshua, what are you telling me? The halacha is like this hilo. Now you made us, that we did an isur koris in our children or mamzerim, and vice versa, if we pask them like the Shammai, then the hilo is going to say, what do you mean? Now you made that these women's children are also the kahuna. So then we can understand why he's afraid. Therefore, he's saying, I'm afraid that I might get in trouble with one group or the other. But if you say that anyway, the Shammai didn't follow their opinion in practice, then what is he afraid of? Gemara says, nu, and even if the Shammai did follow their opinion in practice, my misyarani, still, what does Rabbi Yeshua have to be afraid of? Doesn't Rabbi Yeshua himself hold that a mamzer is only produced by chayv and misses based in? Unlike other tanoim, which we're going to learn later on in the fourth parak of our Masechta, unlike other tanoim who say that it also is from chayv and krisis, Rabbi Yeshua himself holds that a mamzer is only from a case where there would be misses based in. In this case, there's not, because a brother's wife is only an isur kares. So even if the woman did yibum like this Shammai, according to Rabbi Yeshua's understanding of the halacha, this Hillel would say that the children are not mamzerim, they're only pogum. So what's the problem? What, even if this Shammai followed their opinion and practice, what is Rabbi Yeshua afraid of? And the answer is, mihi nami de mamzer lehavi pogum miyuhavi. Granted, Rabbi Yeshua would say the child from such a thing wouldn't be a mamzer, but he would still hold that he's pogum and also to marry a kohen. Mikavachoyma me'almona. And we would say that we would make a kavachoyma from a widow. Ma almona she'ini sura noyeg bakol. Ma doch a widow, where the issue of marrying her is not equal to everybody. Only a kohen gadol is also to marry a widow. And yet, if he does marry her b'no pogum, yet if a kohen marries an almona, the child is a cholo. So then, zushi sura shava bakol chola. So then, a yevama lashuk, where the issue applies equally to everybody, then how much more so that the children would be pogum, would be chalolim. So therefore, so you could say that if this Shammai was not osu, then you're right. It seems Rabbi Yeshua has nothing to worry about of the consequences of paskin and halacha. But if this Shammai osu, if they actually followed their opinion and practice, then according to Rabbi Yeshua's own opinion, the children would be pogum, would be chalolim, if their father was a kohen. According to everybody else, they would be mamzerim. And therefore, whether according to either one, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't want to take a side in the machlokes. So the Gemara continues. What's going on in the discussion of you? First, they're asking him about the tzara herself, whether she does yibum or not. And what is he answering them? That I'm afraid to paskin because of the consequences with the children. So what is it? What did they ask him about? Did they ask him whether the women themselves can get married, or did they ask him what's the story with the children? And the answer is, tauti kaboy mine. They're asking him both questions. Number one, soris mai. Number one, can the tzores themselves do yibum or not? Is the halacha like this shamai that they should, or like this hillel that they should, that they must not? The im tim tzolema, tzores kibes hillel. And if you say the answer with the tzores themselves would be like this hillel, they should not do yibum, and they're not required to do chalitza, then the question is, nei tzores, the bes hillel, the bes shamai mahu, what would bes shamai hold about these children of tzores according to bes shamai? Would the halacha be? Would those children be halalim or not? And the Gemara says, l'may nakamina. What would be, if the halacha is like this hillel anyway, then what's the difference? Why would we care what Bes Shammai holds about the children of these tzores, of that Bes Hillel would say he got married? The answer is, l'mifshat vlad machzik rushosa, l'Bes Hillel. The answer is that it would also tell us, according to Bes Hillel, what would be the din in the case of machzik rushosa, which we talked about the other day, when a man divorces his wife, and then she marries somebody else. Later on, he remarries her, which the Torah says he's also to do. Suppose he did that. Is there a problem with the children? Now, so in this particular case that they're asking about, it would be fine. The Hillel would say the children are completely kosher anyway. The Yavama didn't do anything wrong by marrying Lashuk. But the question would be, if we say that in this case, this Shammai would consider the children from such a marriage, according to the Hillel, that the Shammai would consider them pogrom, then we have to know, what about the parallel case, which is also an Issur Lav of Machzik Grushase? And the question would be, mi aminin kavachomer, would we say that we have to say on the basis of a kavachomer that yes, and we would say, ma almona lakon godol sheini surah shavu vakol b'not pogrom. Again, ma dachan almona, where it's not an issue that applies to everybody, only to the kohen godol, and yet the child is pogrom, is a cholol. Zushi surah shavu vakol. So then the machzik rushase, the issue applies equally to everybody. Ein adin she b'not pogrom. Wouldn't it be a kavachomer that the child is pogrom? Or maybe you can slog up that kavachomer because you could say mala almona shehi atzma mischalelas, because after all, the almona herself, when she marries the kohen gadol, as soon as they have relations, then she herself becomes a chalala by having relations with him, and therefore, for example, she herself, not only the children are chalalim, but she herself is possible to ever eat truma. As opposed to by machzik grushasei and yivam alashuk, where you don't necessarily have that. So he answers them as far as tzores. So he answers them as far as tzores misyarani. As far as the tzores themselves, I'm afraid to tell you whether the halacha is like this shamay or this hillel, because I'm afraid of the consequences. But because according to this hillel, the ones who married like that according to this shamay would have done an isur kores, and I don't want to take a side in that. As far as bnei tzores, as far as you asking about the children, what would this shamay hold about the children who married of a yevama lashuk, who married like this hillel? So he tells them, made lachem. I can tell you that there were such cases in Yerushalayim, and they were considered kosher koyanim and even koyanim goyim. So they ask him both, and he answers. One of them he evades, and the other one he gives them an answer. Okay, so we're still trying to figure out whether Bes Shammai followed their opinion in practice, and we're going to continue that discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem, including a very interesting story of a meeting between the Chachamim on the subject. Shkoyach, everyone.